Blog Talk Radio.
Know what time it is. It's time for Bees After Dark, where everyone comes. I'm your host, Miss V, the Toy Lady, and I have co-host, James Acevedo. If this is your first time listening in for a sexual freaky good time, this show, as with all shows, is brought to you by Bees After Dark Pleasure Products, your one-stop shopping for everything that's pleasurable on the web. Check them out at thetoylady.com. That's thetoylady.com. Oh, my God, you sexy-ass bees. I'm loving it. We're going to jump right on into it. Tonight's topic is dumb comments. And if time permits, we'll take your questions in the Ask Miss V segment. That normally happens after we talk to our guests, but I think we're going to do Ask Miss V early tonight because our guests won't be on for another hour or so.
Yes.
But with that, if you have any questions that you want to ask me, sex, toys, sports, hygiene, et cetera, send your questions to askmissv@thetoylady.com. That's A-S-K-M-V, that's V as in vivacious, at D-A-T-O-Y-L-A-D-Y.com. And remember to tune in on Thursday to Ask Miss V Sports. That's a full hour of me and James answering your questions from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, we've got the sexy-ass Javon Jordan calling in. He's going to be calling in around 10, and he's going to be answering a few questions, and we'll be taking him to the V-Spot if we get a chance. If you don't know what the V-Spot is, sit back and listen, because once we go to the V-Spot, there's no going back. But since we got an hour before we talk to Javon, we're going to talk about tonight's topic, dumb comments. And would you say you're a person who gives dumb comments? But before we even get deep into it, if you want to keep on top of everything that's going on with me and James, you can follow us on Twitter at Miss V the Toy Lady. That's MSVDATOYLADY. And for James, Yankee Man 1973, that's YANKEEMAN 1973. Make sure you like our Facebook page, V's After Dark Pleasure Products. Make sure you join the conversation by calling 646-716-8041 or join us in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com/Miss V the Toy Lady. Damn, that was a mouthful real quick.
Wow. And then on the seventh day, he rests. Oh, boy. Thank God. By the way, hello, everybody out there. I didn't get my due to say hello, everybody out there in internet world, radio world. How you be is out there? Hope better than us.
I hope everybody's be is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
not in a bad way.
What's going on, James? Is it raining there?
It's been like a real kind of on and off day. You know, not really like hard rain, but like drizzling. They say tomorrow's where we're going to get it bad with the rain, supposedly in the afternoon. Right now it's like one of those dreary type of days, you know, nights.
Well, it just started raining here, and I didn't see the lightning. At first, I thought it was the police cars, and I realized, I was like, oh, shit, that's actually lightning.
Oh, for once, that shit.
I live in the city, shit.
Yeah.
Well, I did see a police car drive by, so I know that they had their lights off, no sirens. You know that means somebody getting ready to get their ass fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. They're on the prowl.
But we're not going to get into that.
Right,
you know what? Dumb comments. Now,
yes.
This week, we're talking about dumb comments, and we got an hour to talk about dumb comments.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to talk about dumb comments because over the weekend, and we're going to talk about this on Ask Miss V Sports also.
Oh, well, we definitely, especially on my show tomorrow,
too. What was the dumbest damn comment that we heard over the weekend.
Mm.
Fucking, what is it, Rod Sterling? First of all, to tell y'all how fucking damn ignorant I was this weekend. And I have no problem because we all know I own up to when I do dumb shit.
Me too.
Well, anybody who watches Mad Men will know one of the partners is Sterling. So I saw something on somewhere where it said, well, what would Rod Sterling say? I'm like, what the fuck is Mad Men doing? I can't, you know, I really didn't get it because I didn't see TMZ on Friday. So while everybody else was up on the breast of it, I was out hunting for fucking houses. So I'm like, damn, they bringing damn Mad Men up in this shit? So then I kept listening and listening, and I'm like, oh, this motherfucker. So how many people have made dumb-ass comments like he made? Like I said, we got a whole Thursday, and I know that I don't normally do this, but this is going to be the topic of the fucking Ask Miss V Sports Show on Thursday. That's 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. with me and Jane, because this is a dumb-ass fucking comment. You know, this is going to make all of our highlights. I'm sure that this is going to be talked about for a minute. But dumb comments. You can fuck who you want. You can even fuck black people. Just don't take no pictures and post that shit on Instagram. Really? You dumb?
Yeah, really. That really makes sense. And how hypocritical is that, by the way? I mean, first of all, how disgusting it is that an 80-something-year-old is going with a 25-year-old. I want to vomit. Just that alone is disturbing. Well, unless she, somebody's lying, but I heard that she was at least.
Either way.
You know, but first of all, that's disgusting as itself. You know what I mean?
But she's eye candy. First of all,
yeah, no
what is
doubt.
She doing with an 80-year-old man? I mean, it goes both ways.
And
but
also want to say, too, and she's, you know, she's not innocent of this either. Let's not act like she's like, you know, she's
stop
like the savior.
I'm sorry. Y'all
you know
hear me
saying?
Yelling. I have an ignorant dog next to me. So when y'all hear me, I don't normally have my puppies loose, but I've got a sick puppy, so I've got one that's loose right now who's being a dumbass.
Mm, not good. One of them is sick.
He's trying to crawl under my bed.
Yeah.
The big one is sick, but my little one is trying to crawl under my bed, which means that he wants to get into nonsense when he does that. I got goodies under my bed. Okay, but back to what we were saying.
now I'm interested what goodies you're talking about.
Oh, no, I just, he likes paper. He likes to tear paper and stuff.
Okay,
and
I figured that.
he likes to tear up a lot of things, and going under my bed, he'll find stuff that I haven't found, and it's raining and lightning here, so I don't like them locked up when it's raining and lightning because I don't want them to feel really scared and confined. So
yeah.
When it's raining and lightning, normally I would have them locked up, but when it's like this, I like to have them loose so they can feel that they can come up to where I'm at or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that I've given the pet owner a scenario.
Yeah. Any sponsors, Petco or Petland want to call in and sponsor us, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we do take sponsorship. We do advertising.
Hey, only in America. Don King said it. Now back to the topic at hand. Dumb comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other type of person, when it comes to dumb comments, after a while, I actually, unless they really stand out, I don't really remember them because it's stupid to even, you know, keep them in your thoughts, with the exception of what happened this weekend, but unless it's something to that extreme. But, you know, it's amazing how sometimes, especially with certain people of certain, you know, like certain power or what their job is to even have thoughts like that, it pisses me off because, you know, I'm not saying I'm the most smartest person in the world, but, you know, I know when I go out and work, I do what I do my best. And to know that these people have way more money than me to think this way really pisses me off. It really does.
Well, you know what? I think Oprah made the best comment, said that this is 2014. We are not back on the plantation.
No.
And
true.
You know, first of all, it's okay, and for anybody who hears me, please don't tell me how wrong I am or start bashing me. I'm going to say this because it's the truth. No one can say they never have had a thought about a culture or a race.
Mm.
problem with what happened this weekend was that it came out his fucking mouth. You can think what the hell you want.
Yeah.
We don't have to like it. We don't have to agree with it.
Oh, no, no doubt.
You can think what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not condoning what he said because it was an ignorant-ass fucking comment, and I don't think he's been penalized enough. I think that any profits that are made from this day forward until he sells the motherfucking Clippers should not go to him at all. He should not make any money from this day forward. Just because you're the fucking owner, your penalty should be that all these ticket sales, all these jersey sales, anything that the Clippers make profit-wise, you shouldn't get shit. It should go to every single group that you can think of, be it battered women, the disparity of Hispanics, anybody who has been affected by your comment, because it's obvious that you're a sexist, you're a racist, and you're everything else. So that means that you're probably the same motherfucker who would condone a woman getting her ass beat, so you need a woman's shelter getting some of this money. I think that across the board, he has discredited every single race. He's discredited white people who don't even act like that. So he did, you know, if there was a way to kick a person out, you know how we talk about taking black cards, Puerto Rican cards, Mexican cards, they need to take his motherfucking white card. Because he was dumb enough to say that shit in public, and he was dumb enough to get fucking recorded, not once, but a number of times, making these fucking comments. He's been sued. He's been fined $2.5 million by fucking HUD. Come on now. Because he won't rent to blacks or Hispanics or to different races. This man has been known in the L.A. community. We haven't heard about it on the East Coast because we didn't know. But those people who, and when you listen to the people who actually live in L.A.,
yeah,
be it people like D.L. Hughley and different comedians, they have said, you even heard Spike Lee come out and say how he does. These people have known how he was. The NBA did not fucking respond until the fucking shit hit them. He's been doing this shit for years. When it fucking hit, when them fucking sponsors start saying, fuck you, when you fucking go and attack Magic Johnson, you know, you've got one of the richest fucking ex-basketball players out there, and this man fucking attacked him. Shit, Magic might be able to die at least half of them, you know. You know, and you fucking telling your woman or your side piece not to take pictures and post that shit with him? Are you kidding me? You know, this man has overcome so much being, you know, having AIDS and everything else, and you're saying this? So, guess what? They knew, this is not a secret, they knew, and my problem, and this is where I say my dumb comment to the NBA, you knew. It took a fucking new commissioner to get up in there and say, fuck y'all, because when you start seeing money go out, see, the NBA, the only reason why they responded, and anybody who even works for the damn NBA, call and say something to me on this one, because I'm going to stand my ground. These motherfuckers only responded because they had to, because it started affecting their damn bottom line.
Which is the dollar bill, y'all.
If it wouldn't affected their damn bottom line, they wouldn't have did a goddamn thing.
Of course. Unfortunately, that is the truth. Unfortunately, that is the truth. And I agree with you, because I'm going to be honest, like I always am, otherwise that wouldn't be me, and that would be boring. I never knew about this. First of all, I had no idea who the Clippers owner was, and I'm a guy that follows sports, so I didn't even know who he was, to be honest with you. Like, if you told me his name like 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, who? And then to find out that this history has gone back to Elgin Baylor when he was the GM of the Clippers, and he had a lawsuit which Elgin Baylor lost against discrimination and the workplace and all that. And he's had his own issues getting sued, this freaking, this asshole.
He has sued
his,
out of court numerous times for his comments. He's been sued and settled. So this is not new for him. Like I said, it's new for us and the rest of the country.
But
in L.A., they know who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
You know what? Because he's a damn, you know, let's call it what it is. First of all, let's call it, you know what, I'm going to get into it because on Thursday we're going to have a lot of dumb comments. His whole damn family got dumb comments coming after them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've all said something publicly. And he prompted my dumb comment segment.
He's a top.
Him, his fucking wife.
That's another idiot.
His damn son-in-law.
I didn't hear his comments. What did he say?
How the fuck you going to work for the damn Clippers, and then you going to come out now that they done called your damn father-in-law out? Oh, yeah, I know he's a racist. dumb fucking comments, then why didn't you do shit?
Because, you know, game, you know, you're going to get paid. You know, that's the color that everybody loves. You know what I'm saying?
His wife. The bitch that he done screwed or licked or whatever he done did with all these other folks, because apparently they got an open marriage also.
Oh, obviously.
Now,
yeah.
This bitch, when they're asking him, because he's fucking hard as stone, won't say shit, they're walking out, whatever they're walking with, well, Mr. Sterling, do you think this? No, there's not. He's not a racist. He's, okay, dumb comment, bitch. It's recorded. Dumb comment, dumb comment, dumb comment. You know, the whole damn Sterling family need to get the damn dumb comment award. Because, first of all, who the fuck sues the goddamn mistress to get the shit back? You get fucking gifts and now you want to back another dumb comment. I'm sorry, I'm not you know what? I want that Bentley back. I want this back. I want that $1.5 million back.
You know what that is? That's being an Indian giver. Because I heard that, I said, well, wait a minute. She didn't, like, went into your safe and took $1.8 million. The fucking Sterling gave her that because that was his mistress. Hello? It's called gifts.
Her womanly wow, she persuaded him. You know what? If I had a bitch with a golden pussy like that, I'd get motherfuckers to give me 1.5. You know what? Applaud her. Bitch with the golden pussy, I'm not mad at you. I don't think you a saint, but bitch with the golden pussy, you got 1.5 million and a fucking condo and how many cars? You know what? We got to give her the true. This is my thing to her.
Oh yeah,
here we go.
Yes. Yes. Oh, there we go. Wow. Good. Yeah. Glad a lot of people clapped to that.
The bitch with the golden pussy.
Yeah, that sounds like a good
title name. I ain't mad at her. She ain't a saint. She ain't a saint.
Hell no.
I'm not calling her a saint.
Hell no.
But you know what? That bitch got a damn gold. That bitch got $1 million pussy. You know, fuck that. I want to ask her how she got the damn $1 million pussy. Because I don't know too many chicks who got, you know what, she's the only person I know who got a pussy. And she didn't even have to marry the motherfucker to get $1 million. That's a good bitch.
That's a hustler.
that's $1 million pussy.
I mean, she got back at him big time. I mean, you know, they wanted to sue her and she was like, oh, really? Okay, I got you. I got all these tapes. Wait till I'm blow shit up. And that's what she did. Now, I'm not saying what she did was right, but I understand.
This is going to go in the pussy.
Yeah,
but you
I
know
mean,
what? This ain't the first time he done sued the mistress. Remember, he also sued the hooker. The $500 an hour hooker he sued.
Oh, boy. I didn't
see,
even
this ain't
about
the first
one.
Mistress he done sued either. Huh?
Thank God. I didn't even hear about that one either. Boy, this guy is all over
damn,
the place.
Where the hell you?
I didn't hear about the $500 hooker. I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear about the $500 hooker? Okay, yeah. you know what, Yankee man?
Yes.
You losing it, baby, because if I'm hearing all this shit, and that's in the midst of every damn thing else going on, I done heard about the $500 hooker.
Look at that.
Oh, see,
tell me this story.
You know, I've been reading up on him because, see, when you make dumb comments, I got to make sure I get my facts straight.
Oh, true.
So, yeah, he sued his $500 an hour hooker.
For what?
You know what? That's another bitch with a golden pussy. $500 an hour? And this motherfucker was with her some years, and I think he gave her like $1 million and sued her to try to get the shit back. And lost.
Wow. He's just ending.
No, this motherfucker, you know what I'm thinking? Now, I'm a woman, so y'all know that I talk about sex, and more sex.
Yes,
my conclusion.
Yes,
he's an old man. My mama told me you fuck with old men, you catch worms.
Yep.
But they didn't say if you let a motherfucker old man, you let an old man eat you and you catch $1 million. So I want, you know what, Rod Sterling, if you want a pussy to eat for $1 million, come on, baby. Because it's obvious that you do like chocolate, you just don't like it in public.
No.
Now, see, you done went to the hooker and the mistress. Now you need the motherfucking toy lady. You can eat this shit for $1 million. You can never fuck it. But and the difference is, and if you call me a nigga, I'm going to get another $1 million. So
Well, at least. At least, right?
I'll get ready to get fucking in trouble. I know my man gonna say, did you just say you let the motherfucker get you for $1 million? No, not really, baby, because I don't look like I. You know what? First of all, I'm out of his league. I got meat on my bones. The golden
Like
pussy ain't got no meat on her bone.
Yeah, see, like, he like those skinny, like those brooms with tits, right?
Yeah.
Walking brooms. Yeah.
You know, I'm a fucking, I'm a damn walking turkey leg, so, you know, I ain't
turkey leg.
Hey, I'm a turkey leg.
They call me
a couple of
bull turkey.
Most definitely.
That's my name.
I ain't Mr. Motherfucking Meal.
Yeah. But it's just
you know it's bad when you walk into a restaurant and they say, I got your order because I call it in.
Now let me say this, right? Now, this is the thing that really got me, which is the NAACP should be put more on focus here. What the fuck? The first time they gave this motherfucker
an
award.
Oh, the Lifetime Achievement Award, and you're going to get this motherfucker too? Oh,
what
the NAACP, you know you motherfuckers. You know why they going to the wayside now? Because, see, they know that everybody getting ready to slam their ass. They not excluded. You right. Because this motherfucker was, wait a minute, what the fuck did you achieve? Making us slaves?
Yeah, I guess.
The NAACP.
I guess they only care about money at NAACP. They don't care about what's right and wrong. They care about what's coming in, and that's the green.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, they about to all, you know what? I'm sorry to say it, but the NAACP don't stand for what it used to. Come on now.
No.
You got the NAACP Image Awards. Well, I thought it was about the advancement of color people, not the advancement of white folks who like color. You know, and don't get me wrong, I love Robin Thicke. Let's get it clear. I love Robin Thicke. But didn't he get an NAACP Image Award?
Oh, yeah? For what?
You know, if he hasn't, he'll get one soon. Or maybe he got a BET Award. And,
I mean,
I know.
Go ahead.
But there's been some white people who've gotten NAACP Image Awards, and I understand this is for the advancement of our people, but we got to advance ourselves before we let some other motherfuckers try to advance us.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that because, I mean, now I watch, you know, murder shows. I love watching Investigation Discovery, and especially A&E when they have First 48. Now, why am I bringing up First 48? Unfortunately, when I watch First 48, or just in general the news, there's a lot of black-on-black crime. That's horrible. It's the worst out of any race. I mean, I've never seen a race hate more of each other than black people, you know. And it's a sorry thing, and it needs to end. It's ridiculous
already.
But
you know what?
It really is.
First of
all, it's sad.
I'm going to tell you, as a black person, and anybody who knows me, and as they say, if you guys want to know what a racist look like, fuck me, because I will tell you, in my own form, I'm a racist. And a lot of people won't tell you that they are a racist. But when you hear why I'm a racist, you'll start wondering. I'm not a racist towards other races. I'm a racist towards my own race. And the reason why I'm a racist towards my own race is because a lot of the stereotypes that are out there about black people, I witness them every day, and it pisses me the fuck off that I live in a neighborhood that I don't even feel comfortable in my own home. I should never feel unsafe where I live when I live around 80% or 90% black people.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk out my front door, I don't have the comfort of thinking that nothing's going to happen to me. When I come in my house, I don't have the comfort that I'm safe up in here. But rest assured, where I'm looking for my new home at, even driving down the streets in those neighborhoods, I wasn't worried about a goddamn thing. And I'm the first one to tell you, I love black people. You were very, you know, I think you asked me would I ever marry a white man, and I've said my opinion on interracial relationships and children and all that. But the one thing I will tell you is that we have so much hatred for each other in the black community, and it stems from the crab in the barrel syndrome, and that goes back to slavery. And anybody who knows their history, and this is where I get mad at black people, every other culture knows their history. They know it verbatim. They know it because
exactly.
It's been passed down generation to generation. They're not learning their history in books. It's generation to generation.
Yep.
We don't want to hear what happened. I'm very blessed. And I tell everybody, I am in the minority. Not only do I know my African-American history, I know my family history. I come from a family of slaves and educators. I'm very blessed to say that I have a long line of educators and actually people who have patents and everything. A lot of people can't say that, but in my family, it's passed down our history. We have conversations. We read. And I tell anybody, and I'm going to say this to every single black person that's listening, I don't care if you don't ever get a damn high school diploma. Learn African-American history, because the one place I learned it, and everybody knows that I talk about, I love my college degree. I loved I've been. I loved I got my bachelor's. But because I had to take a break from the university I went to and go to community college to get some extra credits. When I went to community college, I took a class, African-American Studies. And I also took it at the mainstream university. Well, I learned about, in my African-American lit class, that's where I learned about Walter Mosley and Octavia Butler, all these, oh, my God, great black authors that we don't hear about. I learned about Elin Harris. I learned about the young lady who wrote for Color Girls who have committed suicide when the rainbow is not enough. I learned about that eons ago before it became a movie. There was no such thing as a damn movie. That is a poem that was a play that was only performed at universities back in the doggone 90s and the 80s. That's how old this is. But a lot of people look at, oh, this just came around. No, this did not just come around. But when I did my African-American lit and my African-American studies, I learned about the black bourgeoisie and the different things. I learned a lot about African-American history. And I tell everybody, once you learn your history, you learn a lot of things. If anybody has the time, there is a book that is extremely hard to find. But when you read it, you will be enlightened. I hate to be in a racist towards my own people, but when you read this book, and libraries will have it, but they will try to hide it. So anybody who is an avid reader, go check it out at the library because it's hard to find. It's called Even the Rat Was White. And that's the title. It's Even the Rat Was White. And it's a whole thing on racist studies, and this book is from the 1930s or 40s. It's a very old book. But it's about racism in this country. Read The Black Bourgeoisie. And I'm just telling you, when you read it, our hatred for each other stemmed from slavery. It stemmed from the light-skinned and the dark-skinned. And we've never gotten over it. And then when we have gotten over it, you know, instead of us trying to lift each other up, you have, first of all, I'm going to blame media.
Oh,
media only portrays the bad things that happen. But instead of us saying we're going to do this, you know, when you go into other cities and other communities, and the major cities in the United States, Chicago, Detroit, your major cities that have a big black population is where you see the most black-on-black crime.
True.
When you get to cities like you, I'm not going to say there's not black-on-black crime in Cleveland. I won't say that. I'll say that you don't hear about it. You hear about the crime in Detroit. You hear about the crime in L.A. You hear about it in your major, major city, in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is starting to become a melting pot. You ain't hearing a whole lot like you used to. Because of Chicago is becoming more of a New York.
Yes.
You know, Chicago is like the New York of the Midwest.
Yeah, it is.
You know, if you can't make it to New York, you go to Chicago. Parking is just as astronomical in Chicago as it is in New York. You know, but when you look at a city like Detroit, we kill each other. And like I said, I live in what I call a decent neighborhood, but I don't want to live here no more because I can't come home and say, yeah, I'll talk to my neighbors, because I've got to worry about if my neighbors think that I got something that they don't have and want to try to take it and will take it even if I'm at home. Therefore, I was like, okay, I know they rob in white communities also. I know they rob in every other community, but in the black community, you want to go up in my house easily, like you won't get your ass blown away. If you notice in the city of Detroit, there have been 7 murders by homeowners in the past 3 months because the police chief came out here and said, criminals, it's fair game on you. These motherfuckers are breaking into houses with 80-year-old women and getting their ass blown away. A young man got shot today. She said, I got a gun. I don't want to shoot you. He came through the fucking window. She shot his ass in the arm. He got picked up and the 2 people that was helping him.
Good.
More home invasion people are getting blown away. And I don't know why they're not realizing it, because, see, you take a chance and hop in somebody's house, you take a chance to get blown away. And homeowners here are not being prosecuted. And it's sad when you're in a city like this where normally you say, yeah, you shoot me, I'm going to sue you. Dead people can't sue.
Good.
You can't sue for shit, especially when, and they're coming out and saying, we're not prosecuting these homeowners. We're not prosecuting these people who are in their homes and blow people away.
Yeah.
Been charged for killing somebody who tried to get in their house. And when you look at that type of history that's going on, like you said, black-on-black crime is the worst.
It is.
And when you're a black person who don't want to live in your own community, people wake up. The reason why we flee our communities, it's not because we think we're better than anybody, but because we feel safer around white people. And that's fucked up that a race that really don't give a damn about me, I feel safer around.
Yeah.
It used to be... Seriously.
Seriously, it's not funny, but it's true. Yeah.
You used to not want to move to a white community because you were afraid that they were going to burn a stake on your yard or anything. Now you go to a white community because you know, for one, they're not going to fuck with you, and two, you feel safer. You know when you call the police, they're going to show. And I'm very adamant, black people, if you don't want people thinking the way they think about you, instead of attacking each other, do like we used to do. You used to move into a neighborhood and welcome you. You know, when I bought my house, my neighbors welcomed me. They introduced themselves. I knew who lived next door to me on both sides.
Really?
I could tell you. I knew who lived on both sides of me. The day I moved in, my neighbor next door came over and talked to me. As a matter of fact, before I moved in my house, because my house was for sale for so long, and she saw that I hadn't taken the for sale sign down, even though I had closed, she introduced herself, and I said, listen, I don't want nobody messing with it because I know. And she's like, oh, we watching it. We done figured out you bought it. The day I moved in, when the movers were moving me in, she came over talking about that I need any help in introducing myself. A wife with a husband and two children. And until the day she moved, I knew who she was and she knew who I was. I never worried about anything. On the other side of me, where there's a child care, introduced herself, never had to worry about who she is. I got motherfuckers around me now. I don't know their damn names. I try to introduce myself. They won't even answer their damn door. I think outside, hey, how you doing? It's like, fuck you, bitch. Therefore, it has changed. And this is in a 12-year time frame. When I moved in, I was welcome to my neighborhood. People introduced themselves. Now I try to introduce myself to somebody. I'm lucky if I get a hi. Or I got, like, the young lady who lived next door to me, whatever dick she was fucking with when she first moved in, was trying to hit on me.
No shit.
And I'm like, dude. You know, busted ass motherfucker was trying to hit on me. You know, but the whole thing is that now she didn't kick him to the curb because I saw her new dude. He kind of cute, you know. But at least he ain't trying to hit on me. You know, I appreciate that he's not trying to hit on me. I don't want him trying to hit on me. You know what I'm saying? And that tells you. But when I try to speak to her, is the, you know, if I'm outside and I say hi, how you doing? She'll say hi, but other than that, she won't give me the time of day. You know, it's amazing how neighbors will not talk to you. And I really think that it's sad in the African-American community, because I could rest assured wherever I move, and I will be moving, I can bet money at least somebody's going to introduce themselves to me. I kid you not. Why? Because I'm a black person moving to a white community. Two, because I've checked out these neighborhoods, they look like they outside talking to each other, okay? So naturally, I move up in there, they're going to want to know, who the hell am I? Do I sell dope? You know, because the stereotype, we all sell drugs when we move up in their neighborhood. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's see what's going on with her. Yeah.
You know, do I party a lot?
Yeah.
Am I a hoe? Do I have a lot of men in my house? You know? But you got white hoes, too, so, you know, they probably do that for any single woman in a movie. And, you know, they might want to try to get a piece because, you know, everybody loves chocolate. Yeah, y'all know I throw sex in every goddamn thing I say.
There you go.
Hey, Joseph, how you doing, baby? I forgot. I looked down and you just a talking.
Yeah. Nice to hear his name. I didn't hear his name last week. Was he there last week?
No, he wasn't here last week.
Okay.
And that's all right, Joseph, for not missing last week. You know, hey, it's nice to have you here.
That's cool.
And Joseph, yes, Joseph, I know you know that I'm going to repeat this, but he says, well, I ask you, don't worry about Mr. Crazy Dumb Ass Racist Manager from the L.A. Lakers. He's real old and crazy. Well, sweetie, just correction, the Lakers manager is cool. It's the damn Clippers.
It's the Clippers.
I know what you're talking about. He is. Well, you know what? They both L.A. teams. I mean, the Clippers is like the damn stepchildren. That's the plantation. You know, the Lakers is the money that, you know, got the folks who run their mouth. Chris Paul, again, like everybody said, I do love Chris Paul. But the Clippers owner is the one who made the comment. But I like, see, this is, I got to repeat this, Mr. Crazy Dumbass Racist Manager. Thank you, Joseph. Sum it up.
And now I know why, after all these decades, why the Clippers suck so long. Now I know why.
You know why? Because Master had them. Master said you can't do that.
Mm.
Yeah, I went there. You know, I had to go all the way there.
I forgot who said it that I saw on Twitter. It was somebody, and it was, when you think about it, it was true. And the person stated, you know, too bad I forgot the person's handle on Twitter. So, look, I'm not trying to make a joke, but it's like a legalized plantation to this man. And that's what it was. You know?
But you know,
if you think about it, it is them.
You say black people stink. All these comments that he made about black people. And, I mean, Thursday, we're going to have fun. We're going to have so much damn fun on Thursday.
Oh, the next
you know,
2 days.
As much as I want to talk about other shit, he is the type of, I'm sorry, James, I'm going to apologize to you ahead of time, baby, but he's the topic of my conversation. He is my fucking rant of the week. He is my rant of the week, even though I'm going to get this out before Thursday because I got to say it. R.I.P. in the playoffs to my Red Wings.
Oh, they got eliminated, huh?
But in their defense, you know, like everybody has come out and said, they're still a young team, you know, and they had a lot of injuries, and going to the Olympics did not help. You know, they had a lot of injuries, and the fact that 23 years making it to the playoffs, 23 years in a row in the playoffs.
I mean, think about that. That's,
you know, it don't matter. That right there, you can't
get mad
about every single fucking, every
you
fucking
I mean?
Year for 23 years they made it to the playoffs. So even though RIP to the playoffs, go Red Wings. You know, that's,
you
know,
nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not making excuses because they did make it to the playoffs.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You have nothing to be ashamed of, and what you just said alone speaks for itself. 23 straight years making the playoffs. Not even the Yankees have done that. In 18 years, they only missed the playoffs twice, which is a remarkable accomplishment, but it's not 23 straight years. Not to diminish what the Yankees have done, but I'm saying that shows how hard it is to make the playoffs. Now, you could say hockey is a little easier. It seems like almost everybody makes the playoffs, but still,
the
difference is the Red Wings have competed.
Because it's based on points.
But the Red Wings compete. It's not like they get eliminated right away in the first round. You understand?
But they also, remember, hockey is the only sport that you have to have points to get in. So look at the teams that didn't make it, because it's not, you could have a winning season, but if you don't have enough points.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's different.
You still can't make it. You know, where.
It's totally different.
In the NBA or anything else, you could have a winning season and you're going. In hockey, a winning season doesn't determine you. They're counting points, and they start counting points close to the end. Okay,
well,
you this many points from first place, you mean this point.
They make a correction.
I'm sorry.
The Eastern Conference has been shitty all year, so that's an exception of below 500 teams making the playoffs and making good runs, mind you.
Well, and you know what? They did change conferences this year also. You know,
I know about the hockey. Yeah, I know. Metropolitan Division. That's a dumb name for the Rangers play. That was the Patrick Division. I mean, whatever. We'll get into that Thursday. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a hockey person, but I respect the
Joseph
game.
Joseph is on fire. Joseph is on fire up in, you know what? Joseph, I love you. Let's see. I got to read this. And right. He said, and there's no problem. You know, you said that you forgot he was from the Clippers. But
yeah.
He's like, he said, if I didn't know any better, I think he's part of the unholy, damned racist Nazi skinheads or the KKK or the Ku Klux Klan. Who I damn them all to hell, even for show that controversy are moving the birth of a nation. Woo!
Wow, that's a
Joseph
very articulate,
is on fire.
Very articulate quote there. Very articulate. Wow.
Joseph is on fire.
You know what? You know, not to dwell on this anymore, but I hate to say this. Unfortunately, he might not be the only one who thinks this way.
He's not the only one. He's just
talking about
all
sports.
He's just the only one who's verbalized it.
Yeah, he's the only one that was stupid
enough. I mean,
we
know that there's,
you know,
there's other owners. I mean, he's not the only one who feels that way.
Of course.
Come on. But the whole thing is that I'm sorry, and I'm going to put this out there to the board of governors of the NBA. We already got Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban has publicly come out and said, I 100% agree with the commissioner, which means that all you need is, what, 75% to force him to sell?
Yeah.
You got Mark Cuban. Anybody who knows Mark Cuban, that man does everything. You know, I love Mark Cuban just because, one, that is a sexy-ass man. I love him in Shark Tank. You know, that's okay.
Well,
you know,
as a man, for me, on my side, obviously, I don't think that way, but I do respect the man's ambition and what he's done for himself. I mean, he built everything on his own. That shit was what
right,
he did.
What I'm saying,
you know what I'm saying?
Know,
to himself.
But what I'm hoping now, this is what I'm hoping. For anybody who knows me, y'all know that as airhead as y'all think I am because I love my red hair.
I don't think you're dead.
But I want Dan Gilbert to come out. Dan Gilbert, if you're listening to me, you own the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are from Detroit, one of the blackest cities in the goddamn country. But you own the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want you to take a stand alone. Put your voice out there just like Mark Cuban did. Come out and say it, especially the way you've been trying to rebuild downtown Detroit. If you truly are the man that you say you are and you believe in, like, raising a city like Detroit, which is fucking percent black, come out and make a stance just like Mark Cuban did and say, hey, I agree also. I want to see Dan Gilbert. As a matter of fact, Gorsica, the owner of the Pistons, I want to see you take a stand. I want to see the owners come out one by one, just like Mark Cuban did, and say, I agree. That's when I'm going to know that the board really does stand behind the commissioner. That's what I'm going to understand. And I'm calling out the two owners that I know on top of Mark Cuban by name. Gorsica, you own the Pistons. I'm calling you out. Dan Gilbert, I'm calling you out because you're from Michigan. Your home base is here. You just own the damn Cavaliers. I'm calling you out. I'm calling out you two to take a stand. And if I could find the damn other owner's names, which won't be that damn hard, take a stand.
Yeah.
Take a stand. Come out publicly, because until they come out and say they're going to do what they really want to do, my proposal, and I'm going to say this, honestly, if the NBA truly don't take a stand and take away ownership from him, then as fans, we have to chalk it up, and I know we're talking about jobs, the people who are concessioners and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Make a stance and boycott all fucking basketball games. If the NBA will not take a stance and truly make him get rid of his damn team, give it up, then we should take a stance as fans, because without the fans paying, there's nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, the only thing that will hurt this person or anybody that thinks this way is in the wallet, unfortunately. Just like, unfortunately, I think most of these sponsors that are running away from the Clippers, I hate to say it, I hate to be a cynic, but I think it's mostly
they're running
because
their bottom line.
Yeah, exactly.
Their
I don't think it's. I haven't heard one of those companies say, "Oh, well, we don't agree what he say." You just hear,
but you
you know what I mean? We're just running away.
Don't
you don't want to deal with that shit. You know.
Were any of those sponsors the same that did Paula Deen? Because now Paula Deen's sponsors came out and said, we don't agree with this.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, the exception
and
of
that. So remember, that's how she got pulled, because her sponsors and the network pulled her. And this was over shit she had said in the past. It wasn't even something, you know, she had said recently.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, she admitted that she had said it. And she said why she said it. You know, I'm not agreeing. I'm not comparing Paula. And I'm going to be honest. For anybody who say I'm comparing it to, no, I'm not. Because Paula Deen, I don't know her. I know what I've heard about her. Mm-hmm. But her stuff was said in a deposition, and she was making a comment about a bank robbery that she was in. And, yeah, her comment was wrong. But that's the way she felt at that time. And I think this woman has paid the price for it. She has come out and apologized. Again, she's come out and apologized. Rod Sterling, on the other fucking hand, has no fucking remorse whatsoever.
No remorse, and has never even said, that's not me. That's another thing.
He hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not defending Paula Deen, but I'm just saying when it came down to sponsorship, Paula Deen's comments were made, and within 24 fucking hours, she lost damn near everything. You know, she went from Paula Deen, queen of the most fattening fucking foods, damn good foods to top it off, in the damn country, to Paula Deen, I have to do damage control. She is coming back. You know, I love her recipes. Like I said, I'm not defending her. I don't like what she said, but she did apologize.
I remember
more than
that.
Once. She's apologized numerously.
Yeah.
This man,
that.
On the other hand, has no remorse for any fucking thing he said or done. Therefore, I'm sorry. If I had to choose between the two, Paula Deen's comments were made in a deposition, and the reason why she made them was because of what she said. But you have to remember, before she got sued, the lawsuit was still lost on their part. She did not, you know, as they say, she got sued, but she won. She didn't have to settle.
Okay.
So let's look at it, because what was said about her was not even proven, because remember, a white person sued her for being a racist.
Wow. Who would have ever thought that I would ever see to live to see that?
So,
wow.
And that's why I said, I noticed, you know, I followed the history on that.
Yeah.
One of her white employees sued her for being a racist against black people.
Hmm.
The suit eventually was tossed out, but the deposition got released, where they asked if she ever used the N-word, and she came out and said yes, but when they did the whole content of it, and she even said, I shouldn't have never said that, but situation I was in, it doesn't make it right. But when you're in fear, fear makes you say things that you normally wouldn't say. And that don't necessarily mean it's in your heart, but shit, I'm sorry, if I'm being held at gunpoint and a person having to be a redneck or whatever, I'm going to say that motherfucking blah, 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 you know? Yeah, that's how I felt at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about that individual. Do that mean it's right that I felt that? No, but that individual shouldn't have been fucking trying to rob me either. You know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, in her defense, which is only me, so for those y'all say you support her, I don't have nothing against Paula Deen. She don't apologize. What she said was wrong, but she's paid the price for being wrong. Shit, we could forgive fucking Michael Vick for damn dogs. We can forgive Paula Deen.
Yeah.
Rod Sterling,
yeah.
On the other hand, we can't fucking forgive him. If anybody who does forgive him, shame on you. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, but I remember, you know, you know me on Twitter. I speak my mind just like I do on this show, on my show, or wherever I talk. And somebody tweeted at me, which I didn't retweet or even give it any spotlight to. This person was being sarcastic to me, saying, oh yeah, well, Donald Sterling's really a bad man. Yeah, he just gave, you know, all these people jobs, this, that, and a third. And then I just tweeted out in general, I said, look, if you think this way, you're a fucking idiot, because that's not the point. That's not the point. Obviously he did that, but maybe it's because he had no choice in his mind that he had to do that. He had to employ, you know, black people, because it wasn't his decision. He had to, in order to be in business, because he know most of the league is black, you know. So people out there that talk all, well, how can you condemn a person that, yeah, he's such a bad person that he actually employed all these people? You know what? Go fuck yourself, okay? Go fuck yourself, because you even thinking that questions, it questions me what you think. You know what I'm saying? Because to even think that way, it's retarded. You know, obviously he paid all these people. Obviously, yeah, because it's a business, of course. You know, but it doesn't take away what he said. You know, it doesn't make it right. You know, he's still a racist piece of garbage. You know, and I'm sorry. I mean, it's hard for me. I'm just glad they took care of it the way they did, and I give Adam Silver a lot of credit because I didn't think he would make this announcement. I really thought it was just going to be a fine, and then it'll be investigation, continue investigation. But I give him credit for what he did. You know, a lot of it has to do with what the players had to say because they're really in charge of the league more than anybody besides the owners. And the owners didn't want nothing to do with it because whether what they really think or not, they're like, look, we just want this shit to go away, okay? Let's vote on this shit.
But it's not going to go away, you know. That's the whole thing. That's not going to go away.
No, real quickly, no.
Like I said, until the owners make a stance like Mark Cuban did.
Yes, Jordan.
And I mean truly make a stance.
Yeah, even Jordan. At the time, I only heard Jordan said something. And now you told me Mark Cuban. That's good because I always like Mark Cuban. It's nice to hear that he says something. And like you said, you're absolutely
right.
Mark
Cuban tweeted.
And that's the thing because that makes it look bad to me. You know, if you don't say something, it makes me think, well, whose side are you on? Because that you don't want, you know, because then you got people thinking. And you don't need that if you're in business.
Do
regardless
you feel
of what
like
you
this?
Think.
And that's why,
you know what I mean?
But that's why I called out, that is exactly why I called out Dan Gilbert and Gorsuch. Because those two owners, you know, own teams in predominantly black cities.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the basketball teams are predominantly black cities. But because I do know those two owners by name, not by person, so if anybody says she, no, I know their names.
Yeah.
I know who owns
okay,
the teams. Let's get that clear.
Yeah.
You know, I've never met
personally.
Dan Gilbert. I've never met the owner of the Pistons.
Yeah.
You know, but I would love to meet them. Let's get that clear. I would love to meet them because actually they're two great businessmen who built their wealth from nothing. You know, just like Mark Cuban.
And
you know,
I got respect
self-made.
For that, of course. Man, respect for that.
You know, but take a stance like Mark Cuban did. Like I said, I know y'all keep saying, what the fuck is up with her and Mark Cuban? Mark Cuban was the first fucking owner to come out and say something. That's why I keep saying Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, you got my, you know what? You already had my respect because of what you do on Shark Tank and everything else. But, baby, you gained more respect with that damn tweet today. And if nobody else looks at it, Mark fucking Cuban come out and say that made a big fucking difference.
I always liked him. And I'm just glad that he did what he did like that because then, you know, it makes me feel good that I like the right person. So that's good. Because I always liked him. A lot of people don't like him because the way how he is when, you know, he watches his team play. Hey, he gives a fuck. You know, how would you act? You should see me when I watch my team. So imagine if I owned it. I'd be old jumping around,
you
too.
You know what? That's your motherfucking money. You know what?
Exactly.
I would rather see an owner look at their money and go the fuck off.
Yeah, because it shows he cares. You know what I'm saying? You want that. We always talk about how players look like they don't give a shit when they lose. And you know most owners, when you see them, they look like they really don't give a shit. They're just in their suites, you know, drinking their champagne, eating their caviar. Homeboy Mark Cuban, he's not in the suite. He's right there. He's right by the bench. You know, that says a lot to me. You know what I'm saying? So even my stupid owner of the Knicks, you know, even he does that. He's right by, not too far from the bench. So I give credit. You know, at least they show up. They're there all the time. And they, you know, well, Mark Cuban really shows that. He shows his emotions, which I respect. You know, at least he goes out there and shows, look, I give a shit. It's my money. Not only that, but I care about the team winning. I want. He gives his players everything. Yo, their locker rooms look like their house. They got everything. They got computers. They got all that. That locker room is immaculate. It's like, you know, this owner really, you know, cares about his players, you know, and what they do.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I told you Joseph is on fire tonight.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joseph said, I don't really think the guy who tweeted your co-host is all that stupid asshole. I think he's a real dumb ass and a major asshole. So, for the person who tweeted you that shit earlier today, from Joseph Tanner, a loyal listener of the V's After Dark show, you are not a stupid asshole. You are a major asshole.
Yeah, that is amazing. Well, thank you, Joseph. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, and you know, when I saw that comment, see, when I see comments like that, it just, I'm like, wow, you know, it's like, it's amazing. And I also have heard comments is like, well, why do we keep talking about this? Well, it gets put out there. You know, do we want to talk about racism? No, but it gets put out there. When we want to run away from it? No, we're going to fucking talk about it, just like anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to answer Joseph real quick because he's up in the chat room.
Yeah.
And Joseph, there is no reason to be sorry that you don't watch Shark Tank, so you didn't know who Mark Cuban was, but you said you don't watch Duck Dynasty. Shark Tank and Duck Dynasty are two different things. Shark Tank is actually where people are competing for money to start up businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Cuban is one of the mentors. There's a woman on there. I can't remember her name, but these
are
all
business. Entrepreneurs.
All business people. Like Mark Cuban, I think they had, what is the black guy that I can't think of?
I don't remember. I
think it's the guy who used to be married to Kim Kardashian. Damon Dash. I think Damon Dash was on there.
Oh, really?
At one point.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
You would know more than me, so I'm just taking your word for her.
But there's also a female who's a big entrepreneur, and what they do is people present ideas to them.
Yeah.
On how, you know, they pitch ideas for startup businesses, be it something like a new slinky or a hook for the purses, anything. They have all these ideas. One guy did this thing for a water hose for firemen that actually got picked up. It's an attachment. That was last year. But Shark Tank is more about people competing for these money, and they say how much the startup cost would be to create these different inventions. And that's what Shark Tank is. Duck Dynasty, on the other hand, is bullshit. So
yeah, that is bullshit.
I just want to get clear to you that Shark Tank is to help people start businesses or get their idea out there or get investors. Basically, they're getting investors because they're coming to Mark Cuban and two other people. I think it's normally a panel of three or four, and they're basically begging for money.
They're pitching their idea. Yeah, exactly.
They're pitching their idea, and they have to do it like a real presentation, just like going into
like
a boardroom.
Like in a boardroom. Like in a boardroom of a major corporation.
And then they get questions asked, and they get asked the startup costs or how much they would need. Sometimes the big thing is you want one of them to say, "Yeah, we'll do this." That's what you want. You want them to say it, and it's not a competition against nobody because each individual stands on their own merit.
That's true.
And
it's not really a competition. That's true.
It's not a competition. It's you begging for money on national TV.
Yeah, it's basically what it is. Yeah, so, it is. Truthfully,
but it's very good. I mean, I adore Mark Cuban for that. I mean, because when you sit there and listen to him, and he asks questions like, why should I invest in you? Well, what's the profit? Because you have to give the profitability, how long it's going to take. I mean, they've had pickle people on there, everything on there. And what's the profitability? You know, how long do you expect the profit? What do I get in return if I invest in your company? What am I getting? Sometimes they're offering 40% of their companies up, you know, startup. It's a very good show. So if you ever get a chance to watch Shark Tank, NBC, y'all better give me credit for this. It comes on Friday night.
That's a hint. I'm ABC, American Broadcasting Company. But actually, that's a good show if you want to be an entrepreneur, because you can learn a lot, like just by watching it.
You
learn
how they... Yeah. The presentation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very good show.
Exactly. I think it's like an educational type of program. I think it is. What I've seen it. It's not like some bullshit reality. I mean, it is a reality show, but it's different because it's like real people trying to pitch their dreams, their ideas, and Mark Cuban and the rest of the panel give real good questions. You know, it's like a real going to the board in a boardroom and saying, okay, this is my idea, and it goes from there. And I think it's an excellent tool to watch, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur and you have an idea to want to start a business, whatever it is. So I think it's an excellent program. I think so. I forget to watch it.
Mark Cuban, yes, I love you. I love you.
I think you stayed there at least a few times.
I just, you know what? I love Mark Cuban.
I respect it. I always like Mark Cuban. I always like the man. I respect the dude because, like I said, he did. He never had. No one helped him. He did it on his own. You know what I'm saying? With the internet and shit. You know, I got mad respect. Anybody that does that, regardless of where they're from or who they are, you gotta respect. I mean, if you don't, you're a fucking idiot and you're just jealous. Because you gotta respect a man like that. It wasn't given to him by his father or, you know, from his from a family, brought down from his family. It was him. He did it on his own. And people like that, you got to respect, you know, because they didn't have it easy. They went and did what they had to do. Mad props to people
like
that.
You know, if it weren't for the fact that they really don't do anything adult-oriented, I got a few ideas that I would love to get one of those to invest in. But, you know, the adult industry is so frowned upon.
Oh, imagine you on a Shark Tank. Oh, that would be awesome. I would love to see that.
You know what?
I got an idea in my queue, man.
Well, you know what? And, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, my proposal, I think most people will probably say, oh, Miss V, you could do it. I've written proposals just for sponsorship. A sponsorship proposal is is basically, if you've ever written a sponsorship proposal begging for money, it's just doing your sponsorship proposal out loud with demos and graphics. And when you're talking about adult toys. You know, you can't do a PowerPoint for this. You got to do the real thing. I mean, I got a couple of ideas that, you know, I would love to present to them.
Interesting.
You know, but my investment is so small. I think because my initial investment is so small and I've got investors, you know, that they would probably say, well, why do I want a bigger investor? But I want to go global.
Well,
I will be going global.
If you're an entrepreneur, that's the main goal. No, you start regional, then you go domestic, and then you go import it, and then you go for the whole freaking world. You know, that's how a real entrepreneur does it. So, I don't know.
I want to go global.
Yeah, hell yeah. But that's what all the entrepreneurs' goals should be, eventually.
I want. You know what? See, we've got all these expos in the U.S. I want them to fucking fly me. You know, I want to go to the China Expo. No, I'm serious, because we've had AVN here in the U.S., but, you know, they have the version of AVN over in China. And I would really, really love to go to that, because I heard that show is off the motherfucking chain, and they have one in Europe. Oh, my God. Do you know, the sad part is that I would probably make more money overseas than I would here.
That's true,
and
though.
That's why
true.
I really want to get over there, because I think once I got to one of those shows, I mean, if anybody wants to sponsor me, I'm very open. If you want to sponsor me to go to the China show that's in Hong Kong or the European show, you know, I do have a group of people that have to go with me, but anybody who wants to sponsor and get these products over there, let's talk, because I know that I would take off over there. And, we can really have fun.
Is that time? We're going to have roast rabbit.
We can really have
roast rabbit. We're going to have roast rabbit. We're going to have roast rabbit. All right. But, cue up.
You
cue
know
up.
What? They said we ain't got no damn sense.
That's why we work.
Okay. Without further ado, I want to welcome tonight's guest. And if I fuck up, y'all just say that it's the damn rock star I'm drinking. Tonight's guest.
Yeah, sure. Make us use
this. The sexy guest, Javon Jordan. Okay. It's just awesome. Hey, what's going on, baby?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes,
I know,
can
I do.
Hear me? What's going on?
I'm sorry I'm late. I just came from shooting. I was working today, so I'm here now. I'm in my house now. I just got home. What's going on?
Well, what you doing in your house?
What you doing in your house? What do you mean? The man gotta go home sometime.
I'm a little tired and stuff. I was just like, it was one of those days, but it happens, you know what I mean? I was just looking around, just like, you know what? I'm ready to go.
That's cool.
It happens.
You got clothes on or off. You know, shit, I'm gonna ask the damn questions. You got clothes on or off?
I got some clothes on right now, but I can get naked, though, if, you know.
Damn.
I get naked if you got some singles, you know.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, let me rewind. I want to welcome my guest tonight, the sexy Siobhan Jordan. Oh, my God.
She don't even know how to act. I got my clothes on and a do-rag on right now. She like, are you naked? Are you clothed? Damn,
yeah,
baby.
That's, yeah, I know. Very unprofessional.
Damn, she's trying to wreck me over the phone, man. No.
Yeah.
I am the toy lady. I mean, damn. You
the toy lady? No, baby. This is a live action figure right here.
I can make you a toy.
Live action figure. All 6 foot 6 of me. Live action figure.
I can make you a toy, you know.
No.
Well, you know what? Okay. As I said, while people are listening to my conversation.
Yes.
Tell everybody, Siobhan, first of all, it's been,
yes,
you know,
ma'am,
we've been trying to get you on the show for a year because, you know, when I first started the show and then we had to postpone because we had things going on. But
yeah,
for anybody who don't know you, tell them about yourself.
Well, my name is Siobhan Jordan. I'm from Gary, Indiana. I'm a porn actor. I've been doing porn since April 9th, 2013. In 2012, I did a few amateur scenes here and there. But I officially got really started. My first scene was April 9th, 2013. From this time frame, from April 2013 until now, I'm almost about 80 scenes at this point. I've shot for Dogfart, Vince Boyer, Wicked Pictures, Brazzers, Bang Bros, Reality Kings, X-Art, Lethal Hardcore, Hustler, Porn.com, Tsunami America, and I got to do like 4 or 5 more scenes this week that I know of. So, yeah. I got to work tomorrow early in the morning. I'm going to be in a new movie. I'm sorry. What else? Oh, I have a new movie out. One of the main directors I work for is Vince Boyer. I have a new movie. This is the 5th movie I've done for him by myself. So he uses me for the movies. The new movie is out. It's called Blacklisted 4, which is a follow-up to Blacklisted 3. That's out now. You can go get that movie at VinceVoyerUnleashed.com. I have some other stuff coming out. I did a scene for Elegant Angel, which was a black movie, Caramel Honeys. That's about to be out soon. A porn parody. I think that's out. I'm trying to think. For Hustler, I was this ain't Boardwalk Empire. I portrayed Chalky White. I shot that back in October for them. But that movie's about to drop. A lot of stuff about this coming out, so I'm trying to keep track of stuff. But I've been working.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm working.
You know what? I'm gonna let James ask you some questions because see, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna be quiet for a minute because see,
wow.
James,
that's news right there. You be quiet. Holy crap. Okay.
Shut up.
Well,
let me
ask you, Mr. Siobhan Jordan. What made you got into the porn industry besides the obvious answer to this? But what made you got into it? You know, what was the first thing that made you get interested to get into the adult business?
I thought about obviously I watch porn, so that's how I know about porn. I thought about what type of porn I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about, what would make me stand out. And, I knew, one, my height, two, my looks, because I used to model,
Oh, no kidding.
Right before the porn industry, I had the Midwest Fashion Week. I walked for 4 different designers.
Okay.
And before that, I did something for Men's Warehouse, which I was on Fox News in Indianapolis. So I felt like I had the look. I felt like my demeanor, how I approach things, I feel like I could just be different. I just felt like, in my mind, like, yo, if I do this, I could be different in so many ways. And, I know a lot of people say you get into porn or like for the sex and sex. Like, that comes with the job. But I look at it, to me, what porn was a way to turn something, I could create something.
Mm-hmm.
I could turn it into a business. And
true,
that's what it is for myself.
Exactly.
What I mean? I turn it into a business for myself. Like, don't get me wrong. Do I like my job? Of course. But as many things as I've done now, people don't, like, for the outside looking, people don't realize sex is such a small part of the job. It's all the other stuff, you know, getting tested, getting what you need, doing this, doing that, doing this. I looked at it as a business, as a way to create a business for myself. You know what I mean? Sex sells. You know what I'm saying?
No
doubt. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go, I'm just going to go hard with it. I'm not going to play with it. I'm going to come with this. I'm going to approach this seriously. And I felt like also with me, I was in college right before this. And, you know, I was like, I was an undergrad. I was a pre-law political science major. So I felt like I had enough business savvy and enough smarts and enough intelligence to handle myself and really create something for myself.
That's cool. And see, I like people like you, whether it's male or female, because you're also another proof out there that you know, there are porn stars out there with brains and go into the business with the right attitude, just like you, you know, taking it as a business and trying to get to the next level. And I have my respect for you in doing that. And it's cool that, you know, you got that mindset to do that. And it's not easy to do, which, you know, everyone thinks it's, you know, it's all fun and games. But I know personally myself, but from a fan of porn for all these years, I got respect for people like you because it's not an easy business. And not only that, to stay in a long term, is because I know that's one of your main goals, so that way you could get into the next level and meet, maybe owning a company or something like that. Is that what you're looking down towards in the future?
Yeah, there's some stuff I'm trying to work on. I don't want to give it all away, but when I got into this, I knew that I wanted to be in a driver's seat.
Yeah,
I knew that I want my own. Eventually, I would like to have my own productions. I would like to direct, and I'd like to do other things. I use porn as a platform to get myself to the world. People, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Here I am. And it's what you do with the platform is on you. Like, so in the future, I would like to have my own production company. I would like to, you know, shoot, and I would like to bring other people in, males and females, into the business that's serious about it. Because, you know, I think when people see porn, they think it's, oh, you're going on set, you're having fun, and you're just fucking this girl.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is real shit. You got to keep your dick hard.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know how to focus. You gotta know what you're doing. You gotta know how to open up a position. Like, this is like, this shit is technical. And like, I'm gonna tell you something. Like, a lot of people don't know what porn is very, very, very mental. It's a mental thing. If you're not strong mentally, you won't succeed, especially as a male talent, because a lot of times you're not gonna always fuck that hot chick or your favorite talent. You're gonna have to come in some situations and you're like, man, what the fuck is this? You're gonna have to zone out and focus and get it done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's real shit, man.
That's people true.
That's real talk, man. I'm just keeping it real. Like, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat shit. Don't get me wrong. Like, majority of my shoots I've had has been A1. And even when I started, I was kind of timid and kind of shy. You know what I mean? I was kind of timid and, you know, kind of shy. And then after three, four, maybe five months into it, all of a sudden there was like a turnaround. And I just started really finding how I wanted to do it. I started finding that confidence in how to go about things and how to show people, hey, this is what I'm doing, that I'm more than capable of doing this. You know what I mean? I just, a lot of people think I only shoot boy-girl scenes, which is not true. I've shot boy-girl scenes. I've shot BBGs, which is a boy-boy-girl. I've shot gangbangs, glory holes, you name it. I've shot it. You know what I mean? So whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. But I know what my strengths are.
If there's anything you won't
do. Boy-girl and BBGs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that. Yeah, because especially for a guy.
Well, I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
My question is that, you know, I've been following you on Twitter for a while, and, you know, last year you sent me some stuff, and we won't say everything that was sent to me last year, but in it I read something, and I'm not gonna even going to name names because it's somebody who I know that when you first got into the industry, and you can stop me if I'm wrong or if it's off limits, but I know you dealt with some unsavory people when you first got into the industry. And the reason, and I'm being nice by saying unsavory, one of the people that you said you dealt with, I won't mention their name because they don't deserve any type of recognition on my show because I think they're scum. But
wow.
What would you say? What would you say to anybody? I mean, because getting into the industry and being that, you know, I know that you've talked about being out in L.A., but like I said, I remember before you got out there, and like I said, you know, you were dealing with some seriously unsavory people. And what would you tell somebody who happens to encounter some, and I'm being nice, you know, I'm using nice words.
I know. When you deal with situations like that, you have to, honestly, the industry is big, but it's small. Let's be clear. Second of all, when you're dealing with situations where you know that it's not going how it's supposed to go, and it's not favorable, I was to lash out, it will only make that person, make any unsavory situation look in their favor. But when you bite your tongue and you keep it pushing, that's the best thing you can do. And you have to do that. And then on top of that, by me being African-American, me being young, you know, I know if people are, and me being super tall and big, you know, if I was to pop off, they'd be like, yeah, I knew you would react that way.
Mm.
You know, so you have to, like, you know, keep your cool and keep your bearings. Do I get frustrated? Of course. Am I human? Of course. But, you know, it's like when it's an unsafe situation, once you get through it, you know, it was over with. I said, learn, I'm not going to go through that no more. And you just remove yourself from the situation. It's just that simple. I don't believe in, like, dwelling on bullshit. Like, I don't, you know, because anybody that knows me now, I don't hang out with foreign people. And it's not a slight against somebody, but I don't want to because I didn't do that in my other jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do my job, I show up, I smile, I'm cordial, and I go home and live my life. It's just that simple, man. People make shit harder than what it needs to be. Would that be situations that's hard? Of course. As far as dealing with people you don't want to, why deal with people you don't want to? That don't make sense. That's asinine. You know what I mean? Like, I truly say to myself.
What would you suggest to people? Because, and like I said, I won't mention names, but we know that here in the Midwest, because you're from Indiana, I'm in Michigan, and we know that one of the most unsavory people is in Michigan. But what would you say to these young people, be it male or female, who encounter these individuals thinking, how can I say it? You know, listen to the wolf tickets that they're selling, you know, because their talk is good until you realize they're not shit. What would you suggest? Because there are a lot of people who continue to fall for that. You have been blessed where you were able to not, you saw it and you moved on, but there are a lot of young people who get into the industry who don't see that. What would you tell them overall with the suggestions, especially being in the Midwest, because we know the biggest base really is in L.A., and then I think Miami has a base. But, you know, when you're talking about the rest of it, the Midwest, if you want to talk, the next base is in New York.
Yeah, the thing is what you do is you do your homework. And like I said, it was on me. I didn't do enough homework. It happens. It really does. And when you encounter those things, if you feel uncomfortable, you feel it's not going to go your way, walk away. Because at the end of the day, that's your body. That's your body. This is your life. You know what I'm saying? This is real talk. Like, this is your body. This is your mind, your body. If you feel like, you know, this ain't going to work, you know what? It ain't going to work, Tampa. It's just that simple. And do your homework. And research the person. Because a lot of times, man, like, you got to do your homework. Be like, okay. And then you got to also look at the product. You know what I should have did? You got to look at their product they're pushing. And if they product, you know, not only does your reputation precede you, but the product you put out. And if your product is like, oh, it's not where you think it should be, that should be a clear indicator.
If the person is filming you on a handheld camera or their cell phone, realize, hey, I'm just getting my hypothetical. I'm putting it out there. If all the filming is being done on, like, my little Nikon camera or their cell phone,
I didn't know that.
The movie is clips from other people.
Well, like I said, I know who you're talking about. And I didn't know. Honestly, I was very shocked. And honestly, well, it happens. You live and you learn. Thank God I came out alive and unscathed, you know? So,
yeah.
Shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I wish that person the best.
Well, I want to congratulate you. As they say, now we didn't talk about the negative. I just wanted to, you know, put it out there because I know sometimes that individual listens to my phone. Yeah, I still think you're a piece of shit. But, and for anybody who wants to know what's really going on with that, y'all can DM me. I'll let you know who the piece of shit is, because they are the ultimate in fake.
Mm.
And I don't even do porn, but I know how fake they are. But I do want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate you on these nominations. I mean, AVN, X-Biz, and X-Rock in 1 year? Seriously, dude, come on. You can't tell me that your dick did not get hard with all them nominations. Yes, I went there. But
honestly, I was – no. You know what's so funny? I think I was at home one night, and my girlfriend texted me. She's like, yo. I think she was more excited for me the first time. She was like, yo, you just got nominated. She had texted me, and then somebody, everybody's hitting my Twitter. I'm like, why everybody tweeting me? I ain't doing shit. What the fuck I do now? Like, did I do some wrong shit? If somebody want to whoop my ass, oh, my Lord. And then I looked on my phone, and I think that's when I found out I got nominated for, I believe, it was the first nomination to AVN. Oh, man, that shit kind of, like, caught me by surprise. I was like, wow, you know what I mean? I was really honored by that, you know, because I don't know, man. Like I said, I was just really shocked. Like, y'all, you got nominated. And I was like, cool. And then the X-Biz came around, and it was an article. It was on XBiz.com. It was Javon Jordan. And I was like, okay. I was like, wow, you know what I mean? And then the XRC Awards coming up, and the person running a Twitter account, I was like, well, I asked a person who was a nominee for the Best New Male Covers, and it turned out I was nominated 3 times, and I was just like, wow, you know what I mean? That was kind of surreal, you know, because you know what's so funny, though? This is in 2012, I was trying to get into porn, and I was talking to this investor, and I remember I went up to New York and stuff, trying to get stuff started, and then we went out to Vegas, and I never forget it. We was on a plane. It was like me, the investor, the girl, and, like, this guy, he was kind of like a bodyguard or whatever, but it was his friend. And the investor was like, dude, so he was, like, on the plane, like, Javon Jordan, best new male comer, and best stud. And it was so crazy. It happened in 2012. It happened a year later. And I felt like it was kind of like a prophecy, I guess. You know what I mean? Because I didn't see that coming. But when it did come, I was just like, wow, man. I was just like, and I was telling people, when I put it on Facebook, you know, so I have 2 Facebooks, and a lot of people know me back home. They was like, dude, wow, you fucking, you know what I mean? It was crazy, man. But I didn't win, but it's okay. I mean, I'm like, congratulations to the winners, to respective winners. I mean, but just to get nominated and be recognized and say, hey, we see you, we recognize you, that's more than enough for me. I'm honored by that.
Yeah, that is
like
amazing.
Like I said, I was like, damn. You know, because I was out in Vegas. Anybody who knows, I'm out in Vegas every year. So, see, I wish I would have known you was out there, then we could have hooked up. No, we probably shouldn't have hooked up in Vegas. Reason why. No,
I know. My girl
was
looking at me right now.
When I was
looking
for a drink or something.
Who's this Ms. D? But seriously, that's
everybody
amazing.
Know what I do in Vegas. So anybody who say about me being in Vegas, y'all know how I be laying.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
My man,
my tether reaches from, no, my tether reaches from Michigan to fucking Vegas.
I
damn,
no
be like,
that's
like,
not her hotel room.
But I mean,
oh, Lord.
But it's amazing considering that, you know, porn usually when someone has nominations that many in their first year is mostly female. Let's be honest, and for a dude like you to do that, I mean, that speaks volumes to me because usually I've never heard of that, to be honest with you.
I know. A lot of people were saying it. A lot of people was like, dude, do you understand? And
yeah.
They're like, dude. And I was like, I do understand, but I, at the end of the day, you're only good as your last thing.
Exactly. You got to keep going.
So,
yeah.
But it made me want to work hard and not. Just really just go in and just give people what they want, you know. That was the whole thing about porn. It's not about you just giving the people what they want to see. It's giving what you want to see. You know what I mean? Like, let them like fulfilling their fantasies, and you know, so whenever I shoot, I try to, you know, keep that mind and say, hey, like, all right, I'm doing this to y'all because I want y'all to see this. This is what I want y'all to do. Because I know the fans at home want to see you just do what the shit I just checked and not be weak with it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's great.
I try.
Yeah, man.
You know, we're getting a serious echo. Is anybody else hearing the echo that I'm hearing?
No. Like, what's going on?
I hear you, both of you, fine. So, not on my end. I hear both of you pretty
clear.
No,
you're clear, but I have an echo, and Jovan has an echo.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, oh. I want to ask this real quick to Javon.
Yes.
With your 1 year underneath your belt, by the way, happy anniversary, not too long ago. Who has there been one performer that you've performed with that you have instant chemistry with, and who that is?
Okay, now you got to go on my Rolodex.
Wow, more than one. Look at this.
Yeah.
You. You're the man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta really think on it.
Yeah, go ahead. No problem. Got time.
Okay. For the last movie I did for Vince Warrior.
Okay.
Each scene went flawless. That was just like, boom.
Okay.
Damn, yo, you put me on the spot.
Hey, I didn't know it was going to be this hard of a question. I thought it would be, okay, it's a couple, boom, boom. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be this hard for you. You have a lot, huh? Wow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, more.
No, because usually there's always when performers get asked this question, usually they have that one or two, or if lucky, more than that, like, yeah, it's instant chemistry, the scene work out great, we know. You know, we understand each other, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like you, like you said, your Rolodex is endless on this question, huh?
Yeah, man. Like, how can I put it? I don't want what I'm about to say come off wrong.
No, I understand what you're trying to say.
I'm going to put it like this.
Yeah.
Most, when I come on set,
okay,
most females, like, they see me, they have this smile on their face.
Oh, look at that. Good for you.
Yeah. So then when I get naked, they smile harder. And then when I dick get hard, they really smile. So it's like, okay, this will be a good day. And, you know, it's not because when I talk to the females before I shoot, you know, I'm cordial. I say, hey, my name is. I talk to them about regular everyday life stuff just to pick their brains. And I say, hey, what are your dislikes? What are your likes?
Smart.
What are you comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
most girls after the shoot, they're like, you know, it's like you're really humble and you're very sweet and you're nice. You know what I mean? And I'm not extra. I don't do none of that extra shit. I don't need none to do none of that. I'm in a corner somewhere. When it's time to work, I'm ready. And, you know, I try to get the females what they want and stuff. And most females are like, oh, my God, you're so cool, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, good. Because if
yeah.
the director is happy and
yep.
the female is happy,
yep.
it's all good. That's it. So I don't can't sit here and say one or two scenes that I was just like, oh, my God, because I've had a lot of scenes like that. I was just like, wow, okay. And when you see the finished product, you're like, wow, did I really do that? So I'm like, all right, cool. All right, I got to do that again.
Wow, that's good. And you know what? That's good that you are that way. Because that it shows why you got those three nominations. Because you know word gets around about you like that. You know, people talk and they see. Well, you know this dude is. You know he's about business. You know he's not. He doesn't mess around and he's a good dude. And it that means more work for you. And that's excellent. That's great.
Yeah, and on top of that, also I think about. I'm gonna put it like this. What helps stuff work for me, like, because I want to get it all the way.
No.
But being clean cut, that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I go on set, like, I take a shower and stuff, I just, like, have some good body wash, nice cologne and stuff, put the cocoa butter on and stuff, and you know, I'm just laid back and chill. I'm not allowing the female's face. I let her get to wherever she needs to get to mentally. It's just, like, the littlest things, and being kind and considerate
yep.
and not being thirsty. That shit goes a long way, man. Like, I swear to God, man, that shit has carried me. And I've done the same thing from the first thing to now. I ain't reinventing the wheel. You know what I mean? And then working out and keeping your body looking right, you gotta tell yourself, like, okay, most females want to have sex with an attractive man and keep their body right. So I'm going to do my best to make sure I'm always looking on point so the female can be naturally attracted to me and you don't have to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
That shit works, man. I just say it just works in my favor, man. So I'm fortunate.
That's why
I love my man, my mother, because he's always in the damn gym.
And there goes Ms. V again.
Y'all know, but
that's good.
Listen.
Hey, you being you, that's what I love. So don't worry about it. That's why I'm here. But that's good. Do you have a, Javon, if you don't mind me asking, is there a certain workout regimen that you do? Like, you know, okay, you know what to eat at a certain time. Do you have a schedule like that, or is it just you work out or whatever?
Yes, I do. I don't fuck with fast drugs. I don't fuck with that shit. Do I drink? Yes, here and there. I smoke weed. Okay.
Yeah.
But I do take care of my. No, but I do take care
but
of my.
But you were celebrating 2020.
I was a track athlete.
There you go. A track.
I was a sprinter. So cardio is important to my heart rate. I got to be able to breathe and have my heart pumping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Running. I do a lot of walking. I try to hit the gym when I can, when I'm not busy. Weights. I work on my abs because a lot of us have abs. The abdomen has a lot of part in your sex life and in your penis. Because like the better shape you are, the better control you have in your day.
That's true.
Tables. I don't fuck with fast food. I don't fuck with that shit.
Don't blame you.
So. My girl cooks a lot, you know what I'm saying? She cooks a lot, so I mean healthy and stuff, you know what I mean? Vitamins, a lot of water.
There you go, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I rest. I'm not out. I don't party in none of that club bullshit. I'm resting.
Smart.
Yes. I take care of myself, like, so that, you know, I mean, because I have a medical background. I went to school for medical assistants.
Cool.
And nurse tech. So I know a little things, how to try to keep myself right and stuff, make sure I'm going on point and make sure I'm staying healthy. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. See, that's smart too, because you know it all comes around to what you do for a living. You know, and that's good. Your body is your temple, as they say, and it also makes you your money. So that's two things. The reason why to do that. And that's good, man. See, it's good that a young dude like you got that mentality like that. And because usually. You know, when I was your age, I didn't think that way, kind of. So you live and learn, but that's good though, especially in your type of work.
Yeah, because you're so damn old.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't talk it, but age-wise, but you know, mentally and actually, you know, I don't really look like my age. I've been told I actually look like Jordan's age.
All right. To be fair.
Yeah, it's all in the genes, buddy. Yeah, I got the lottery in that one. You know, I could be a little better looking, but in that, you know, that's all right.
You come work out with me. You come out here, man. I take you to the gym. I work out at. You know, it's right by my apartment, man. And we work out together. I got you.
Oh, cool. That sounds cool. If I ever get out there, it's true. Hell yeah. I'll take that.
Take
your word
on
that one.
Because you're gonna go to Vegas. You're going to go out there because you have to go to Vegas when we go next year. Just start saving your pennies. Get the penny jar. Throw 10 cents in there. There or something.
Yeah, I always wanted to go to Vegas. That's one of those places besides New Orleans I always wanted to go. It's just something that intrigued me of it, you know. So I wouldn't mind. I absolutely don't mind going out there. No doubt about that.
Vegas, AVN next year is January 21st to the 24th.
Okay.
Yes, I already know because I'm trying to make my plane reservations and my hotel reservations.
Interesting. That's just a few weeks after my birthday. That'd be perfect. That's awesome. Oh, back with Javon, I know you're actually a co-host with former porn star India Morrell, you know, with Van City. How long you been doing that, and how's it been co-hosting with her? Because she's like one of the best looking porn stars out there, as I should know by my history of watching.
I was thinking about a month and a half. We come back on the air next month.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Is everybody there?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Oh, I hear you. Don't hear us?
So, what I have to hope and pray, can anybody hear me?
Oh, she can't hear us. We hear you. You don't hear us.
Good one, we're live.
Oh, boy, she don't hear us. Oh, boy, I'm
asking. Can anybody hear me?
I do.
Yes,
I do.
Can hear you.
Okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, this is what I got to do. Hold on there, Javon. I got a Skype messenger and let her know that we hear you.
I just lost an entire call.
Oh, boy. This is weird, Javon. Like, we hear her, but she don't hear us.
Oh, I hope you guys are still on.
Yes, we are. Excuse me, Javon. Let me type something real quick. Okay,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you hear us?
Yeah.
I'm back now. For whatever reason, it just went completely outside. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
But you know what? We could have easily played a prank on you and kept saying, no, we don't hear you.
I can hear y'all now too. I couldn't hear you guys, and no, so I'm
back. Oh wow, this is live, ladies and gentlemen. That's how internet radio works here.
This is what happens when you got folks in three different states doing the damn radio show. See, now y'all know I'm gonna shoot you off the damn hook in the morning.
Like, damn, Javon's like, I'm never coming on here again. Getting back to Bam City, you were saying about you've only been on the show, co-hosting the show with her about a month and a half, you were saying, correct?
Yeah, about a month and a half, yeah.
How's that been going? Is that over the phone, or are you with her in studio?
That's over the phone because she resides in Atlanta, and I'm out here in L.A., so I'm usually on my laptop, and I'm running stuff on my laptop, and I'm on my phone, and we're going back and forth. Also, we added another co-host. His name is Ryan. I'm trying to remember his Twitter. I think it's like in between the lines. Something like that. I kind of looked at it. But we added a new co-host. He's a guy. He's pretty cool. I think he's like from New York. So now there's three of us. And Work Where was cool. And how that came about was she's been following me on Twitter for a while. So like the little amateur days and me really getting started. And how that really came about, she talked to one of the main directors I work for, which is Biz Boyer. And, you know, Biz Boyer telling about me, like, you know, he's a pretty cool guy, he's a good talent, so she had told me that, and she was like, hey, I want you on the show, and this was a new show, but lo and behold, I became a co-host of Vamp City, which is part of Dollhouse Radio.
Cool. That's cool. So yeah, there you go.
Off the chain.
Yes.
I know, we be saying some crazy-ass shit. Trust me, there's a lot of things. I wish we was on tomorrow, Wednesday, because I would love to really touch topics about the whole dog on the stand.
Hey, you could, if you want, you could say right now if you want.
I think that's really sad, you know, because this is 2014, and I'm really glad that the NBA banned this guy for life. There's no room for people... for calling people niggers, none of that shit. That shit is not going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be really clear. Let's be clear about this clown-ass motherfucker. This motherfucker fucked up when he had the bitch he's tricking on with him at courtside. Anybody know he's married? He ain't nothing but a trick. Let's be real clear. Yeah, so it's really fucked up that he don't know his place in a position to the point where you telling somebody that you're tricking on that you can't fuck up with people.
Right.
Do that.
Yeah.
Let's be real clear about that. For him to get exposed, that's his karma.
Exactly.
And then for you to say niggers and black people and all this other stuff, I feed them house and clothes. I'm like, you're some fucking slave master. Get the fuck out of here, because most of the majority of your staff is black. All the players on the Clippers are black. The head coach is black. The general manager is black. I don't know if Elgin Baylor. I forget who the general manager was. I think it's, I don't know. I forgot. But they always meant black people
were
the Clippers. And then for you to disrespect Magic Johnson, Magic Johnson is loved out here in L.A.
Everywhere.
You know what I mean? You don't disrespect Magic Johnson. He tried to shit on Matt Kemp. He got mad at her because she took pictures with these people. They told her, don't bring black people to the game. You go sleep with black people, but don't take pictures with them. But you sleeping with this bitch that you're tricking on. That's black and Mexican. That's African-American and Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
that's because she got a golden pussy. Let's call it what it is. She's got the $1 million pussy.
It don't matter. Listen, it don't fucking matter. I'm very serious about that shit because at the end of the day, he fucked up because she came up on a lifetime on this guy. You know, let's be real quick. She came up on a millionaire. She played the role. And this guy, he's a disrespectful motherfucker. He got his wife looking all types of stupid. Because he's sitting there tricking on his bra. I can see he's fucking this bitch and, you know, paying his bitch and she leaving. But you got this bitch in court side. Like, people don't know you fucking married. You know what I mean? I can really go into that shit. I'm trying to keep it light, but it's disgusting, man. And I'm glad
you
did.
You know what? You're always welcome to call on Thursday to ask Ms. B Sports because this is our topic. We are talking about him on Thursday.
Yeah, and well,
ask me,
yes, and you know, with my show tomorrow, the Benchwoman show, I have a lot to say.
I know you do. I'm gonna tune in because you know that shit, man. You know that shit really hit a nerve for me, and I'm gonna explain why.
Yeah, sure.
My grandfather was a basketball player.
Okay.
And during the civil rights era. So
okay, the 60s.
I remember the stories he told me. Like, I remember one time he told me how one time, like, I think it was like the state championship, semi state, whatever, like, they was playing from Southern school, whatever. And they just put the football players on the court, and they was trying to, like, bridge him and hurt him and stuff. You know what I mean? So when you hear stuff like that, and then you see things have progress from that, it makes you really think how certain people think of African Americans in the entertainment business. Let's be clear, racism is still very alive.
Unfortunately.
It's really sad. And when you have to go to Barack Obama, you know they're going to go to Barack and say, what do you think? Barack Obama doesn't even have to fucking comment on shit like that. It's too much bigger shit in the world that's going on. And I really hate that because, like, even though Barack Obama is black, he's not all black, let's be clear. He's African American. He's African and Caucasian. They should have to tell Obama, say, "What do you think about a white man calling people niggas? They do this shit every day. It's fucked up." Yes, but Barack Obama don't have no time for that shit. And you know what they was doing at the CBD, if he was gonna be like, if he was going to say something that was gonna make him look bad. And that's
exactly.
This is the fucked up world we live in with this fucked up media. You know, so
I agree.
It's a lot of yellow journalism. Exactly.
Yep.
Anybody don't know what yellow journalism means at home, folks? It means that exaggerate. So I didn't like how they went to Obama. What do you think? Obama is not an office to fix black people's problems. He's here to fix what the fuck is going on in America and try to make things progress. Not worry about some racist ass owner. Sorry, but not sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Yeah, absolutely right. And when you read between the lines on that, that's exactly what that was. It's almost like they were trying to bait his ass. Let's see if this motherfucker will say something.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And, you know, I'd appreciate that. It's like Obama. You know, like when Kanye did that shit with Taylor Swift. Obama, what do you think about Taylor Swift? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. I mean, you want to
talk about that, Jabari? Shit, let that man run the country. You don't give a fuck about Kanye. Seriously, who gives a fuck? He's an asshole, whatever.
Yeah, and that in a way is kind of racist only because I don't remember
the past president being asked this question.
I don't remember President Bush being asked, well, what do you think about Britney Spears and what she did, you know?
Exactly. Nobody give a fuck. Hey, what do you think about this and that? And they asked that motherfucker that they was talking about. The Iraq War.
Yes. You gotta realize George Bush, none of the George Bushes.
Yeah.
Both of them were idiots. I mean, we're talking. Yeah. First of all, their comments can't be any comments because Kanye West called the best. George Bush don't like black people. Let's call it the way it is. I'm not a Kanye fan, so for those y'all, no, I'm not his fan. But when he said George Bush does not like white people, he was talking about the first and the second one.
Yeah, take your pick.
And again, I've gone out, so I don't even know if anybody heard me. I hate this damn thing tonight.
But I'm glad, Javon, you spoke your mind on that, because that's good. You know, that's why we wanted you to speak your mind out here, because I think what you say is absolutely right. It's absolutely right. And it's a damn fucking shame. It really is.
You guys. Okay, now I'm back.
Oh, you went away again?
Yeah, I'm like so pissed at this damn thing tonight.
Yeah, well, okay.
It happens. Everybody having a day. It's all good.
Yeah.
But I was saying that George Bush, anybody who knows George Bush's history,
yeah, we do,
they,
unfortunately.
For one, they would not ask them because, first of all, you got to know how to read a fucking book, which neither one of them know how to do. And yes, I say it honestly.
But
you're not going to ask them their opinion when they had their, when George Bush says that I went after this person because he tried to kill my daddy. Okay, but he didn't succeed.
Because
if he would have, this would have been a better fucking country.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not wishing any of the Bushes dead, but when you say that you go after another world leader because they tried to kill your daddy and make that come in public, you didn't go after him because of anything other than he tried to kill your daddy. So no, the media is not going to ask any George Bush what they think about some dumbass racist comment because they just fucking racist.
I mean, you got to understand, like, that nothing is by accident. And, you know, if you really want to go there, we can go there. Nothing's by accident. A lot of this stuff is by design. And, you know, the world is run by a short few people. The one you call, quote unquote, the 1%. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Only way things are going to truly change when, you know what, honestly, it starts in a black community. Because black people have a tendency to have a crab in a bucket mentality.
Yep.
A lot of that
I'm about to say some shit that
I might get in trouble, but I'm going to be really clear. I'm going to be crystal clear. A lot of that shit, the mentality stuff, how black, a lot of black people carry this stuff, the crab in a bucket mentality, that shit extends from slavery. I can't tell you how many papers I wrote in college about that, you know. You know, it's, a lot of people still have that mentality, that whole crab in the bucket mentality, you know. Or I don't want you to see, I don't want you to have this. A lot of that stuff was learned traits that was passed down. And, you know, when black people ever come together, that's when things are really going to change. Because, you know, if you look at the numbers, black people are one of the largest numbers consumers in the world. And not only are the numbers consumers in the world, but if you look at the numbers, that America has the largest prison population in the world, and African Americans are make up the largest percentage of the incarceration population.
Yeah.
So let's be real clear what's going on here, man. Slavery has been in. They just made a document take the change up. We ain't going to mass in the house no more. So, you know, if y'all want to go there, we can go there. You know what I mean? Trust me, I do my homework and I read. I'm not dumb about it. Just because I was born.
Everything.
I'm not, because I was born, trust me, I was in college.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I had numerous debates. And a lot of times in my classes, I was the only black male in my class. And I really didn't like how teachers would put me on the spot to speak for all the black people, but I did what I could to try to represent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
One of my teachers is one of the first black mayors in America in college.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I've been around quite a few people. I met Coretta Scott King when I was 15.
Cool.
So, you know, I'm not no dummy. I see what's going on out here.
Exactly. And that's what I've been always saying. Whether it's been on my show or Ms. V's show, is that when I've had porn stars on, I always express that, you know, I always put it out there, and they tell themselves without me even saying how educated they are. You know, I've had Naomi Banks, Missy Stone, you name it, I've had them on, all educated, all business smart, everything, you know. So when I hear people that say stupid shit, ignorant shit about porn and shit like that, you know, I get pissed. I'm not even in the business, and I get pissed because,
right.
You know, it's not right because you don't know what
going
doing.
On.
Yeah, exactly. And that
they
pisses me the fuck
on.
Off. You know?
Exactly.
You don't know what the fuck. You know, you got no right to say that shit.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that because a lot of people assume that people are fucking 24/7. He's doing all these swinging orgy parties and all this other extra shit. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't speak to nobody else, but I can speak to Jovan, that I don't fuck off sex. And if people know that. Even when I was single, I didn't fuck off that. I didn't have the time for that shit. I felt like if I do that, I defeat the purpose of being in porn. I can just make money and not give my shit away for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I because outside of porn, I live my life, man, and I'm trying to do other things. Like, I'm trying to get back to school. You know, I have, you know, I have a girlfriend. I have other responsibilities. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You're a freaking human being. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, man. A lot of people just think, man, yo, when people see me, because I have been recognized in public a couple of times, when people see me, usually I'm in sweat, like in a thermal on, and I'm to myself, and I'm real, like, mild mannered and quiet. People are like, oh, man, you're pretty cool, man. You seem normal. I'm like, what you thought I was going to be?
Maybe because I hang around the adult industry. I don't have, like I said, my opinion is totally different because one of the people I'm really cool with is Naomi Banks. You know, that's my girl. And I'm cool with Misty. So when I deal with people in the adult industry, and I've been dealing with them for over 6 years now.
Okay.
I've never had the assumption that people have. A lot of people don't know that when I go out there, I joke and I talk about shit, but if anybody ever listens to the conversation that I have on Naomi's show or when Misty came on, you can tell it's not about, oh, well, I'm asking questions. These are people who will sit there and can tell you how fucking crazy I am, or can tell you, oh, yeah, we know this bitch, or they come to Detroit and they come to my house. Because these are the people I know. As they say, I know them outside of it. Last week when Misty was on the show, she's like, oh, by the way, how's your daughter? You know. And it's not because she don't know her. She, you know, she done met her. They have hung together. When I'm with Naomi, you know, as they say, I know the personal.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. So when people make the assumptions, and I've always said it, until you know a person, people assume that anybody who works in the adult industry, be it that you're in front of the camera, behind the camera, you sell toys, there's an assumption that I found the entire adult industry, people who have nothing to do with it whatsoever, think that toy sellers, people in front of the camera, behind the camera, have no fucking common sense. We're all business people. Everybody has something to do in the business. You know, people look at me and all they see is titties and ass because that's how I portray myself. But then when they see me outside of that, they don't know who I am. But then when I tell them I have a bachelor's in public law, I have a minor in business, I have two adult children, you know, I have a lot of things going on.
Right.
And then when they see me, oh, we didn't notice. Or when they see me tweet a stupid-ass picture because I'm out shopping. You know, they see the real me. They've seen the in front of the camera me, but they also because I allowed them so far into my personal life.
Right.
Because my son and daughter are part of my business.
Exactly. And you know, that's the thing is, you know, you got to learn how to guard yourself and protect yourself. And that's why a lot of times, like when I'm not shooting, I don't really talk about my work. I don't think about it. I think about it when I have to.
Exactly.
You know, even though it's what I do full time, like, you got to know when to hold them, when to hold them. And once people meet me and hear me talk, they were like, oh, this guy's intelligent. He's not some guy off the street that don't have no common sense. You know, he's not some wild person. You know what I'm saying? And even people in the business will assume until they meet you, but it's all good. You know, like I said, I do what I got to do. I shoot. Or I'm shooting, I'm at home with my girlfriend, or I'm at the gym working out, or I'm doing something. Plus, I got family out of California. You know what I'm saying? So I have a lot of stuff going on for myself. Plus, I'm trying to get back in school. You know what I mean? I'm serious about fitness. I'm trying to get into some fitness things and stuff. And I'm trying to focus on now. I want to start auditioning for movies, man. So I'm really trying to do other things with my life, man. It's not porn 24/7. Not at all. That's so not true. Not especially not with me. Not at all.
There you go.
Well, sweetie, we're at our wrap-up time.
Yeah,
fortunately. We're ready to hit the 5-minute mark. But I got to thank you for coming on. And you know what? I would love to have you back on this show like after September.
Okay.
You know, and we can find out what you got going on for AVN. You know. So when I say let's hook up, I ain't saying hook up. I'm saying, you know, we got a drink. See, because y'all think what I say. Y'all
sure.
Think what I say so fucking
little. We just messing with you. We
sure
have
you know.
We just messing with you. We love you. We just messing with you.
I know, but, you know, when folks listen to the show, y'all remember. I got a fucking man who, like I said, that fucking tether reaches all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what the fuck I do even when I don't think he knows. So,
uh-oh.
But I'm his feet. I am Miss D, so for you who knows me, that's how I am.
So I got to thank you for coming on.
Yes.
But we got to wrap up.
Yeah,
you know what? I would love to have you back on the show. And if you get a chance, we're talking about that.
Okay.
You hear us? We only own because it's an all sports conversation.
Okay.
That's all we do.
Yes.
Sports.
True, true, true. And then, you know, and down the line, you can come on my show, too, down the line.
Oh, I got you, man. Y'all, listen, y'all know my Twitter. Y'all know what I'm at. All you got to do is shoot me an email, you know.
No problem.
But like I said, on Thursday night, it's just an open conversation. We don't even have a guest. We just talk sports.
Yeah, yeah.
We give the male and the female perspective.
The fastest hour you ever experienced.
Everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And next time, it's me when I come on the show. I promise I'll be more sexier out. I tell you that I'm naked and I'm putting on some baby oil. I'm gonna tell you, I'm getting some head right now. I'm gonna tell you all the nasty shit I can think of. I'm nasty. Y'all don't even know that. I'm trying to behave and stuff, you know. But I can be a freak. I can be nasty though.
You ain't gotta be hating me.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you just had them singles ready, though. You know, I might do a dance or two. Just had them singles ready. Make it rain.
Make it rain. I'll make this shit rain. Do you
make
take
a nor'easter.
I'm a poor person, so, you know, I can only make it rain with dollars.
Uh-oh.
I think my limit is only at 50, so I can only make it rain with 50.
You can't be cheating with me. No. Don't be cheating.
Listen,
now.
I told
Don't
you I'm on the damn tether. I told you got me on the damn tether.
Yeah, but this has been very cool, man. It's very cool, very good to talk to you, brother, and definitely got to talk to you soon.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate
no problem.
That.
Thank you, man. Very cool.
Before I let you go.
Oh,
shout out your Twitter real quick.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jovan, J-O-V-A-N, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, triple X.
Cool,
and
there
thank
you go.
You.
There you go. But thanks a lot for being on, man. We definitely got to talk to you soon, no doubt.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, later, brother.
Thank you. All right, peace, man.
Bye.
All right, later.
Peace. All right, later.
Bye.
That was cool. That was very cool. That was good.
Oh, my God, you guys. We're coming to wrap up.
Yeah,
so I want to thank my guests, the sexy-ass Jovan Jordan, for joining us tonight. But you know what? We've got some really great guests coming in the next few weeks.
Yes, I saw that. Tell everybody real quick.
Hershey Ray next Tuesday.
Yes,
and we've got Ace of Spades on May 13th.
Yes.
But don't forget to come back on Thursday for Ask Miss B Sports. 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. We'll talk mostly about sports with a little bit of sex.
Yes.
So join us as we talk about the hottest topics in sports and get both the male and female perspectives about what's going on.
That's right.
Remember, that's Thursday at 8:30 p.m.
To 9:30 p.m.
Make sure you follow us.
Yes.
On Twitter.
That's right.
Yankee Man, 1973.
That is
more. YankeeMan, 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, at Miss V, the Toy Lady. MSVDATOYLATY. And for all your pleasure products. V's After Dark. VSASTRDARK. Join the Google group.
Yeah, there you go.
And Facebook.
There you go. And also the Twitter page for V's After Dark, too. At V's After Dark. So that's that, too. Wow, this has been another good show, Ms. V. And unfortunately, we got to go bye-bye.
Yeah, but we'll be talking on Thursday.
Can't wait.
Everybody, we're locked in for Exotica, Chicago.
Cool.
Oh, yes. Within the next couple of weeks, once Miami is over this weekend, Fort Lauderdale, we'll be using our booth number.
Cool.
Until next
time, awesome.
Guys. Bye-bye.
Lettuce and tomatoes. Peace. Later, everybody.
Hello. Crazy, crazy, it's the same.